How many of you have life cycles? Any of you? Where it seems like that, man, I feel like I've been down this road before. Hey, Moses, we didn't come this way once. Well, could you imagine the life cycle there for 40 years? Could you imagine you being hung in a life cycle for 40 years? Some of you may have. Some of you may be experiencing that now. You know, a lot of life cycles aren't brought upon ourselves because of our bad behavior or bad decisions. You know that sometimes life will deal you a cycle. Sometimes life puts things in our way in life, and it may cause pain or discomfort, aggravation, heartache. And it seems as though we're out for a moment, we're in again. We have a season of, if you want to call it this, a season of rest. And then we're back in it again. Okay, I'll get you on page with me in a minute. For those of us that work for a living, not retired and just hanging out, enjoying life. For those of us that work, we find ourselves hung in a cycle. We get up in the morning, there's a routine. Okay. Man, if you don't have a routine, you're having a bad day. But we find ourselves drinking coffee. Some of us shouldn't be drinking coffee because that puts us in life cycles. We find ourselves watching the news. Some of us probably should put that away because that's putting you in a cycle. We find ourselves doing certain things at certain times during the morning. My wife's got almost has it down to a science of how fast it takes her from the time she wakes till the time she leaves. But I'm starting to see some variances in those times now. It used to be, you know, she could roll out 7, now it's 8, maybe 9. Sometimes I'm staying home and I don't understand. But sometimes we find ourselves in that cycle, and it almost becomes, well, it does become redundant. Have you ever got in your car driving to work and you get there and you don't remember passing certain landmarks? How in the world did I make it? I don't even remember going. Man, did I stop at the red light? Was there a red light this morning? Cycles. I want to talk to you this morning about get off the wheel, because it brought me right to the thing of the hamster. Man, that poor little hamster works its legs to death. Goes nowhere. But all of its energy, all of its focus, all of its time is inside that wheel. Look at your neighbor, tell him, get off the wheel. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Boy, aren't you glad that it was Christ that made us free? We say that, and then we still find ourselves in the cycle. We can shout and jump and preach all about Christ setting us free. Everything that he done for you and I, and we are free. But yet we're still going through our cycles. Maybe it was a tragic thing that took place, and one year led to another, and another year led to another, and the next thing you know, it's 5-10 years, and you still find yourself, I'm going to put this word, it's going to make you mad, celebrating the misfortune. Because you're giving your attention to it, you're giving your time to it, you're giving your desire to it. Man, I hear people all the time, well, I'm coming up on my anniversary. What? I don't know about you, but I don't want to relive things in my life that caused pain. I don't want to relive things in my life that causes me to hurt. Causes me to fall into a point of depression, or causes me to begin to rethink who I am. If I am good enough. Well, if I would have done this right, then this probably would have never happened, and I could have. And we relive that cycle over and over and over and over. Some don't break the cycle. Some don't even have a rest from the cycle. Get off the wheel. He said, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set us free. Now, this doesn't go to say that you'll never experience something bad or tragic. This doesn't go without saying that there might be something in life that you've got to push your way through. But it's just like seasons that we live. I mean, we probably live in one of the most fortunate regions because we get to celebrate 4 seasons. Pretty soon you're going to start seeing the trees bud and already seeing robins bounce around. And what are them little yellow flowers? Is that what they're called? They're already blooming? Okay, they're ugly too, but they just pop up. And I'm going, who planted them? What happens is we find ourselves being locked in the bondage of the cycle. The cycle has put a yoke. Y'all understand what yoke is. Yoke is meant to, it's used for stiff-necked people. It goes around the oxen, the stiff, and they're pulled. your cycles in life are directing you. Your cycles cause you to do this or causes you to do that. It causes you to react a certain way. It causes you to think about certain things. It causes your communications to be certain ways. It causes your friendships to go certain ways. It's cycles. And whether or not you want to believe it, not everybody that enters into your life is tied to the cycle in which you live or struggle against. There are some people, I went right to Lazarus. There are some people in life that were actually designed to help you out of your bondage. Y'all remember, Jesus stood at the... How many of y'all know that Jesus didn't have to say, tell anybody to roll a stone? Jesus didn't have to say that. Jesus sometimes sends people in your life to help you break the bondage. But because you're so tied up, you will kick that person to the side. You don't know how I feel. Boy, this is going to be nasty this morning. It's easy for you to say. Selah. I'm going to just leave it right there. Y'all just rest in that a moment. Because 99% of you have said it. I hear it's easier said than done. Yeah, it is. So is that your excuse? Is that why you're going to hang out on the wheel? Aren't you tired yet? See, it had to get to a point for me. I said, I'm not going to go through this again like that. What happens when we say that we don't want to repeat something? We have to change. Because your circumstance, follow me for a minute. Your circumstance isn't going to change. Your cycle ain't going to change. It's always going to be there. It's happened, and it always will happen. Now you have to decide whether or not you're getting in the wheel. The wheel's always, the hamster decides. Poor little furry fella. He decides when to get on the wheel. But he also decides when to get off. He got more sense than some of us. We'll run until we can't run no more. Our tongue get caught up in them little spokes on the wheel. And rap. But these yokes of our cycles have kept us bondage for so long that we have celebrated the idea that the death of a loved one is coming around again on June the 10th. Well, I better get ready. I don't want to. Oh, come on. I'm going to get right in your soup. I don't want to go anywhere this week. I'm mourning. Again? I ain't saying it's bad to think about it. Don't ponder on it. Why are you hanging your life in the balance of something that will not change? God's got something else intended for you, but instead you would much rather put your time and your efforts and your focus on something you're not going to change. We're in the wheel. See, I don't want to miss the 4th of July picnic because I got to celebrate a cycle. The cycles keep you from going out and having fun with the family. They cause you to sit at the house while everybody, no, just go on. I don't want to be around you. No, stay home. If you're going to pick that up and drag it to the picnic, just keep it at the house. Hang out at the kitchen table. This can be anything. Anything. There was a time in mine and Debbie's life that there were cycles of arguments. It always seemed like it come about the same time I tried to plan an escape before it got there, just so I didn't have to deal with it. But some of us, man, some of us, we blew up the helium balloons. We put out the happy birthday. We done all of it just so that we could get back in. Some of us feed off of it. We like the reoccurrence because it brought so much attention the first time. Hard teaching this morning, Pastor. Bad attention is better than no attention. If Debbie screamed at me, at least she was talking to me. If I put something out there, I had to. Did y'all? I just shared it to a couple of individuals privately within our family. I said my wife used to get butterflies every time she saw me. Now I just make her blood pressure go up. But it's the same, right? She agreed. But I wonder how many of us are fighting this yoke of bondage that we're in. You start feeling the yoke tighten up around your neck in September because this is the first year without him. Christmas comes about and you're just, oh. I'm talking to a lot of us. I know you don't like it. I'm trying to help you. Christ said he sets you free. We're going to go to another portion of Scripture, and I'm going to talk to you about this one particular guy that for 38 years, he was in a cycle. For 38 years in a cycle. See, we could talk about the woman with the issue of blood that was in a cycle for 10 years. 20 years, 30 years, whatever it was. There's so many other people in Scripture that were hung in cycles. Shoot, a whole nation was hung in a cycle for 40 years, all because of their disobedience. Uh-oh, maybe you ought to ask yourself, am I being disobedient? Let's go to John. John chapter 5. Y'all know this account. But there's some good teaching points out of this account that I think it not only helped me, but it will help you if you will apply it to yourself. This is only meant for those that are tired of being in the cycle. So if you're not tired of it and you're okay, you enjoy the idea about all of it and all the bad attention, and you enjoy it, then this probably isn't for you. You can go ahead and go to KFC, Bojangles, get your chicken, ice cream, whatever. But for the most of us, we don't want to be involved in cycles in life all the time. It causes you to become tired. It causes your life to have no meaning or purpose. You get hung. You feel unappreciated. You feel as though nobody cares. You feel that I'll never break free. And watch this guy. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which he called in Hebrew Bethesda. Whew, that one hurt. Having five porches. I love the fact that he named five porches, or that he told us there was the number five. If there's any place that I want my friends, if I'm hung in a cycle, if there's any place that I want my friends to take me, it's to the number five. I want you to lay me at the foot of grace. I want you to bring me to grace. That's where I want you to put me. If I'm ever caught in the midst of something, take me to grace. I've never had to deal with it. You've never had to cash in on that card, apparently. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Y'all remember this whole thing, right? For an angel went down at a certain time in the pool, began to stir up with the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well. And what of whatever disease that he had. You know, it's kind of ironic that we never found out anybody that was ever healed from anything that actually got into the water, even after it did stir, if it stirred. Well, y'all were just caught up in the pool, wasn't you? Jesus trying to teach you something, and you caught up in the stirring of the waters. We preach on it. After this, there was hey, where'd you go? Can we go to the next one? There you go. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" How many of you know if Jesus knew that he'd already been laying there for a while, Jesus already knew there's a probability there's something going on inside your head. It may have been 38 years to this point, and I would deem to say that if we've done anything for 38 years, we've already made up in our mind that what has happened is going to happen. If he ain't changed by now, wives, don't look over at him. Just keep looking this way. Thirty-eight years is a long time to be lying in a condition. And then you've got this man coming up to you and asking you a question. Do you want to be made well? Nah. I just come to the pool every chance I get so my friends can drop me off and I can enjoy some sun rays. Not interested in being made well. Can you imagine how that must have made him feel at the moment? But see, this is a teaching moment for you and I. You should be set free, but do you want to be set free? Have teaching moment. Having your friends bring you to a place of no hope for 38 years. I mean, come on. Why couldn't one of them took a day off work, got him close to the edge of the pool, just in case the pool began to stir, and he could have slapped him in the head, rolled him over into the water. But he didn't. They dropped him off, said, good luck. That's almost like y'all's Christian thing. I'll be praying for you. You ain't broke up your Bible, much less talk to God yet. Don't. I'll be praying for you. Why don't you sit here for a minute? Why don't you hear me? Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you listen? Do you want to be me? The sick man answered him. This is what happens when you're in your cycles for so long. You begin to find excuses. The first thing that you've got to stop doing when you're hung in a cycle is stop making excuses. Don't be hung up in the idea that because you are where you are, nothing will ever change. You want things to be better, but you're unwilling to change. You would much rather go back to what keeps you from changing. Well, I don't have anybody to put me in. You haven't had anybody for 38 years. I'd have probably changed some friends or something. I'd have looked for another group. It wouldn't have took 38 years. Hey, can you help a brother out and take me down to the pool of Bethesda? Sure. And hang out with me? Well, you know, never mind. I'll find somebody else. This is where we as Christian people need to get involved with one another. Not be nosy so that you have ammunition, so that you can hurt someone, but to get involved enough to know that, hey, maybe they don't need you. I'll pray for you Wednesday. Maybe they just need you to go, hey, I'll sit with you on Wednesday. I'll just call Tommy. Maybe he can give us the feed. We can watch it together. Or maybe we'll just go and sit down and have dinner. Uh-oh, we're going to put dinner before church. Don't judge me. We've shut down church to move people. I know. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready for preaching today. That is church. I have no man to put me into the pool. I wonder how many of us are looking for man to get us out of the cycle. We'll go to this person or that person. We'll go to this bank or that bank. We'll go to this mortgage company or that mortgage company. We'll always looking for man to get us out. Now, I'm not saying don't be a good steward of the common sense that God give you. Don't sit at the house and go, well, if it's going to happen, got to send me a check from heaven or something. Gotta build my house and that next door. You're laying in your sickness and you won't go to the doctor. And well, if God wants me healed, he'll heal me. What if God wants you to go see the doctor so that you can witness? Never mind. Everything that we look at in the glass, it's always half full. Should be, but we look at it half empty. What we can see through it, we're seeing dimly, right? We don't get to see clearly. So I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another one steps down before me. Somebody's always got to be in the way. You know, there are some people that will blame everything on everybody else on why they're not where they are. And if you look at them and go, hey, do you want me to help you? And they say, yeah. And then you go, well, let's do step 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I don't want to do any of that. They answered the question, do you want to be made well? I blame it on the church. The church is the place of handouts, not hand-ups. That's what it's turned to. What's the old saying? Teach a man to fish, he'll feed himself forever. But if you give him a fish, he'll come back and ask for another one tomorrow. Cycles. How many cycles have you been hung in? What cycle are you hung in right now that you cannot get out of? It presents nightmares, sleepless nights, argumentative relationships. Have you ever really thought about it? Do you want to be made well? Do you not want to be made well? Every day you wake up, you face the same thing. You get the same result. And you react the same way. Do you want to be made well? It caused this man to change. Something had to change. And it was in his own mind. Because Jesus didn't say, I'll help you to the water. Jesus said, stand up and walk. But we struggle with having to do anything ourselves. We want God to heal us, but we won't do anything in the form of the healing. We ask for it, but we don't believe it. I told Megan all the time, I still tell her, you want to be healed of diabetes? Act like it. Pastor, well, that's the way I parent my children. That's why it's not a handicap. That's why she can still do what she does. Because it's not a handicap. I'm not going to let you get hung up in the cycle. Well, if I was diabetic, I would. No, we're not going to go through that garbage. But if you want to be healed, act like it. Profess what you believe. If you believe Christ can heal you, then live like it. Don't eat the chocolate-covered. Don't be eating candy bars all the time. It's not the answer. We want to be healed of things, but we don't want to change things. After all, my fellows have been bringing me for 38 years. They've done a good job. Man, can you imagine? Okay, well, let me flip this over. Can you imagine the burden that you're putting on the people that are constantly there for you, that are always answering your phone calls, that will always open the door, that will always spend their money, that will always push their food back to come to you, that will always turn from their families to come to yours, because you won't change anything. You want to continue to live right where you're living, and because these people are so gracious enough to continuously pour into your life, can you imagine the burden that you're putting on those people because you don't want to be made well? And you're okay with it because you won't change anything. Never have money, but you always got drink. Told you it's going to be a little tough. We've gotten to the place, the sin in our own lives cause cycles. Because you won't do away with the sin. And you wonder why this always happens to me. Happens to everybody else that lives like you too. We want change. We want healing. We want help. But we don't want to help ourselves. And we get hung up on the wheel. You choose to get on it. You choose to get off of it. I'm just trying to help you this morning. I want you to live a prosperous life, a bountiful life, one of joy. Are you tired yet? Man, this has been helping me because I'm tired of losing my joy. Tired of going to bed at night, not being able to sleep. I'm tired of losing my joy. Return unto me the joy of your salvation. Salvation just isn't your ticket out of hell. Salvation is your healing, your wholeness, your help, your fortress, your protection. We just look at salvation as being saved to go to heaven. That's, man, we haven't even hit the tip of the iceberg when we talk about salvation in that kind of a manner. There's so much more. We were here Monday talking or praying, and God began to talk to me about the blood. And I want to get into a series about the blood. I'm just not ready yet. But he's just expressing this thing, this idea about the blood and how much deeper it is. This will challenge some religious people. It wasn't the blood. That healed you or saved you. It was the blood of Christ. The emphasis should be Christ. We forgot about the one. The blood never loses its power. No, Christ never loses its power. The blood was just a sign for you and I that there was complete submission and sacrifice. It took blood. Wasn't because it was just the blood itself. I'm starting to preach my sermon. Stay out of it, Rocky. But the same one that can pay a price for you and I and make way for you and I is the same one that can help us break cycles. That's why I told you this morning, ask God, what do you think of me? Because it's going to be a hard conversation, Joe. Jesus one day is going to walk into your room and go, Joe, do you want to be made whole? Can you answer him this morning? If he got in your face and said, do you want to be made whole? Man, I can just see. See, y'all look at Jesus as the, that was a bad dude. I think he was the man's man. These little pretty blue eye pictures, all that stuff is nonsense. The dude, never mind, I'm not going to get into it. Little blonde haired preachers. Talk about your blonde head Jesus. I mean, I just can't do it no more. But he would have offended you. You've been going through it for 38 years. And a man will walk up to you that you ain't never seen. And he gonna look at you and go, well, do you want to be made well? Dude, look. I probably would have got well real quick, jumped to my feet, ready to throw nucks. He probably did offend him. See, it's in our offense that we change. Thank God I serve an offensive God. Cycles are controlling our lives. I believe they control how we present ourselves to Christ. Don't believe me? Get in your cycle and watch your prayer life change. Because it went from praising him just in March to crying in October. Just take me out, poor old me. And I'm not trying to. I hope I've said enough to express that. I'm not trying to. Listen, we all go through garbage. And we all fight stuff in our life that keeps us from taking the next step in life, that keeps us from growing in Christ, that keeps us from maturing in Christ. We all go through it. I'm just trying to help us that we don't have to go through it again. Go through it this year. If you see fit, go through it this year. One more time. Just go through it and get it out of your system. But next year, do something different. Next year, celebrate that you don't have to go through it again. Thank God that's over. And see, that's one of my favorite. Well, thank God that's over. Something else in that scripture that I wanted you to have. We talked about not relying on the people to break us free. We talked about being laid at the foot of grace. Talked about the bondage being pulled here and there. Because you're going to live different. You're going to act different. Talk to some people that have cycles in their life. Talk to some people that go through something every year and watch their demeanor, watch their character, watch everything about them and watch how they live in that season. They're different. That's how I know that some of y'all going through it. Y'all wear it on your face like a Halloween mask. Y'all come up in here and you... And I'm going, how y'all doing? I'm blessed. Or you don't even communicate with nobody. You come in, you're dragging your 12-foot alligator tail. You come in and you sit down and you don't say nothing to anybody. You get up and you go home. And then you wonder why the church ain't involved. Because you ain't talking. You're keeping it to yourself. This is not a house of judgment. This is a house of restoration. You need some help. I can't read your mind. I'm not always going to catch a fish for you either. I might give you a fishing pole and some bait. The Roanoke River is right down there. Go fishing. But no one can help you or assist you if you won't talk about it. But see, you're going to have to love the one that's talking to you. This is why church is important. Y'all think it's because you need to come and get sermons and sing a song. And it has nothing to, it's got some to do with that. Yeah, whatever. But for the most part, it's for coming and lifting and building one another up. This is why you're not to forsake the gathering. So that you build one another up. Because somebody went through hell this week. And they need you because you went through it last week. Now don't be offended when they look at you and go, listen, sweetheart, just snatch yourself by your bootstraps. Because you're going to go, well, that's easier said than done. That's where you're going with it. But you forgot that the person that you're talking to right now just went through it. They didn't learn that until the sixth day. If they would have done it on the first day, they wouldn't have had to suffer so long. But we're to give to one another. Share in one another's burdens. No, does that mean that we've got it all together? No. But with the people that we have that's a part of this community, we should have enough wisdom and enough God sense about us that we can help anybody through just about anything. I'm tired of fighting cycles. And I had to hear him say it again. Well, do you want to be made well? See, I don't have to change my experience. I don't have to change my circumstance. I just have to change me. Does that mean that goes away? No. Does it mean it goes away? No. Because you go keep thinking about it. I think about concrete trucks and digging holes all the time. If you're not in the construction business, you don't understand. Do you want to be made well? By Facebook, by YouTube. I'm going to ask you a serious question. I'm going to ask that you look at me. I want to see the whites in your eyes. I want you to look at me. I want you to look at me. Don't look for a piece of gum. Don't look for a cert. look at me. I'm going to ask you a serious question. Do you want to be made well? Now you can't answer that with a light-footed yes, Pastor, and not change anything. See, a lot of the stuff in counseling that Debbie and I will do, I will often tell somebody, if I'm going to counsel, this is what you have to do. And if I don't see that you're changing, I'm done counseling. Well, how can you do that, Pastor? Because I don't cast pearl. They don't like it, so I got to talk to somebody that'll be okay. You can't pass swirl pearls at the swine feet. There's somebody else out there that wants to be made well. And I can't get tied up in your cycle because you don't want to come out of it and allow somebody else to fall short when they're desperately crying and looking for it. So whenever I ask you a question and you answer, I'm going to hold you to your answer. You hold me to mine. Some of you go home and do a Bible study on two words that I preached. And I mean, you'll study it for 11 months and come back and expect me to know all the answers. Had one that taught me. I always ask a question. What do you think about, you know, that's a good question. Research it and let me know what you find out. And walk off on me. I used to get so mad, I would kick him right in the back of the head. I'm asking you for a reason because I don't. Research it. Let me know what you find out. That's a good question. Man, that's a good question. And I'm going, you know the answer to it. There's got to get to a point in our life, I think, that we just get tired and we don't want to do it no more. I don't want to go through it again. I don't want to have to deal with it again. I'm getting tired. Can't get off the wheel. I just pray that God will open the eyes of your understanding so that you gain revelation in what it takes sometime to be made well. Because he could have laid there. He could have kept in the excuses and never made a motion. He could have said, but God, the water's not stirring. Or Lord, or Jesus, whatever that he known him by. The water's not stirring. I think sometimes, sometimes we've got to go after him to get set free. The woman with the issue of blood could have looked out the window. It was 12 years, sorry. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He reminded me because sometimes I get ignorant. Issue of blood for 12 years. She could have sat up out there for the 13th year looking out the window. But she caught him on the 12th year and went, well, ain't got much to lose. I'm going. What do you have to lose? See, are we willing to make that gamble? Are we willing to make that gamble where we go, look, it was like the lepers in front of the gate that said, look, we can stay here and die, or we can go over there and maybe die. Either way, might as well try it, right? Might as well give it a shot. Come on, men. Some of you were so stupid. You didn't just try one lady. You tried two or three when you asked them to marry you because one said no. You just got knuckleheads and said, well, if that one didn't do it, well, I'll try another one. Y'all ain't never been turned down. Boy, like a rock I have. Wow. You can either stay in the cycle and nothing change, or you can decide to step off the wheel. But what if it don't change? So what'd you lose? It was the same on the wheel. You probably got more breath now that you're off the wheel. We'll fall every day. We'll fall even if we ain't got to jump off a wheel. We still go fall. That's how late. Well, that's just who we are. But I think in everything that we do, breaking any cycle, we've got to break this first. And we've got to make a conscious effort. We've got to make a decision in our mind to do something differently in hopes that something's going to change. You can't do it every day and expect it to go away. I just don't want to see you fight through this year with hurt and pain and sorrows. I just don't want to see you go through it. People have left you. People have hurt you. People have betrayed you. People have passed on from this life to the next. There's nothing you and I can do about any of that. We can't change people's actions. We can't change how people treat us. You can honestly and sincerely give people all that you have and still get spit upon. It doesn't change people's actions. See, we're not called to that level. We're called to the level of changing ourselves, changing our reactions. How do we play the cards dealt? This Christian thing, man, it's not easy. Because you always... Why do I have to go and say something? Why do I have to apologize? I didn't do nothing wrong. You ever apologize to somebody where you didn't do nothing? And you went and apologized and you didn't do nothing. Boy, that sucks. I hate it. The hardest part for me is to... Boy, I just... Where did my blue things go? Where did them little blue blankets go? I found some. Right there. I don't want to put your coat on. Stand to your feet. Please. You know, in Bible time, you knew people by what they wore and how they wore it. If you were a beggar, you had certain color garments that you had to wear in order to beg. If you were a rabbi, you dressed in certain ways. The high priest dressed in certain ways. And right there, when I'm just saying, why is it I always got to bend down? And it's hit me like a ton of bricks. Jesus was rabbi. He was Lord. And the night at the Last Supper, knowing that his time had come, he took off his outer garment, is the way the Bible expresses it, basically unveiling who he was in the eyes of his disciples, exposing himself in the eyes of the disciples to fulfill his purpose. He said he did not come to be served, but to serve. And the Bible says that he took and he put a towel on, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. He didn't just wash Peter's feet or Matthew's feet. He even washed the feet of the one that was going even the one that was going to betray him. He washed his feet. So there's your answer, Rocky. That's why you have to bow down. That's why you have to kneel before. That's why you have to feel that sense of, why is it I always have to? That's who you're called. Boy, it's hard. When you know that someone is taking full advantage of you, or someone is talking behind your back, or someone is putting you out there to hurt you. And you still have to be the one. Hey, what's going on? How are you? Sometimes I love the idea that I can go and talk to some people that don't have any idea that I know anything, and God's told me it all. And I can stand in front of them with the love of Christ and go, brother, I love you. I hope life's treating you good. I pray that God's hand's on you, that he'll protect you and keep you. And all the time I'm knowing they're setting something up in the dark of the night to destroy me. And I have to expose myself. Learning to love in humility. Learning to love people the way Christ loved us. That's enough to keep you busy every day that you're awake. Because it's not easy. Don't get caught up in the lie. Don't partake of the fruit. Love them from a distance. It's a lie from the enemy. Well, just because I love them don't mean I have to break bread with them. Jesus broke bread with the sinners. He broke bread with Judas. Don't tell me you don't like to hear the actual teaching. You like to hear what teaches good and fulfills you. Don't say that you don't have to be a part of somebody's life. If you're in trouble, I still got to come. knowing what you've done, knowing what you're thinking about doing, and I still got to come. Man, we want a relationship with Jesus. But do we? Y'all better be glad I'm your pastor, not him. If he was teaching you, there'd be some messed up stuff in our heads. We would probably hate some days coming to church because he would tell us exactly where we stood. Don't let a day go past you that you're not serving somebody. I'm not saying go and clean people's houses and do. I'm just saying that you're not serving. Serving can actually be not even speaking. When you feel like that you have the need to or the desire to or the want to or you've justified your speaking. Serving could be not saying it.